Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Steve, stand-in for Jane Lindholm. Developers of high-voltage power lines are starting to stake out routes in Vermont to import electricity from Canada to big markets in southern New England. The interest in Vermont as a transmission corridor is unprecedented, and state and utility officials are approaching the projects cautiously. But they do say they could represent a unique opportunity to win financial benefits for the state with a minimum environmental cost. VPR News Director John Dillon has been following these issues for a long time and reported earlier this week that out-of-state utilities are eyeing Vermont as a pathway to move that electricity from Canada to southern New England. And he joins me now to explain more. Hi, John.
Hi, Steve.
So explain again why there is such interest in Vermont as a transmission corridor.
Really several reasons. One being that some older units are going offline in southern New England, some older gas and coal-fired units. Secondly, there's a big push in the region for a cleaner energy mix. So people are looking for more hydro, more wind. And then thirdly, and perhaps the one that really brought this issue to the fore, is last winter, natural gas prices spiked, and natural gas supplies had to be diverted in the region from generating electricity to heating homes and businesses. And that caused a tremendous rise because generators had to find other sources of fuel. That caused a tremendous jump. By one estimate, a $3 billion dollar increase in overall power costs. So New England's governors are looking for other sources of electricity, and they've even put out an RFP, a request for proposals, for new power line projects and new gas line projects. But mainly the focus has been on these transmission projects to bring new energy down into New England.
Tell us about the projects you know about and who's behind them.
Well, just in Vermont, and there's some regional ones as well, but just in Vermont, we've got four that I know about. Northeast Utilities, which is the region's largest power company, last week filed for interconnect agreements with the regional transmission grid operator. And Barrick, which is a private power line developer, wants to build a line across Lake Champlain, actually under Lake Champlain, from west to east. And that would bring in hydro and wind power from New York State, upstate New York State, and connect with the grid here in Vermont. There's a company called Transmission Developers Incorporated that wants to build a line under Lake Champlain from north to south, a 1,000-megawatt line that would be then buried underground and connect to the Vermont Electric Power Company grid in Ludlow. The same company, interestingly, wants to build a line on the other side of the lake, the New York side of the lake. And then Hydro-Québec, the big utility up in Canada, has already revealed that it wants to come to beef up its line to the Vermont border, and it's likely that they'll mm-hmm. want to, you know, improve transmission capacity to bring that power south.
It's a lot of big projects. What's the likelihood all of that would come to pass?
Well, that's the question. You know, you have these at least four players vying in Vermont for a route, and then you have big projects throughout the region that will be part or could be part of this RFP that the New England governors want, and that includes a project up in Maine and then another one in New Hampshire that is more advanced called the Northern Pass. New England governors want 3,600 megawatts, which is a considerable amount of power. By comparison, Vermont uses about 1,000. But not all of them are going to be built. You have Wall Street investors, traditional utilities, a provincial utility, you know, sort of all jockeying position. It's kind of like the railroad wars of the 19th century, where competing railroad companies were looking to develop parallel tracks almost. And there was a lot of speculation, and people lost money because in the end, you know, you usually only get one line built going mm-hmm. in a certain direction. And I think that in Vermont, at least, there probably won't be two huge power line projects down through the state. So one of those four, but probably not all four.
And what's in it for us?
What's in it for us is Velco. They would have to connect to the Velco grid. They would have to pay for that privilege. For towns where these lines would be located, there would be property tax payments. TDI, that one who wants to put the line under the lake, is talking about some sort of benefit fund for the state, maybe dedicated to cleaning up Lake Champlain. But state officials, the Department of Public Service, the Shumlin administration, and Velco, which operates the regional grid, have made it very clear that they want clear benefits for the state, financial benefits. And Velco Vice President Carrick Johnson made that clear to me in an interview.
If you're going to build in Vermont through our right-of-way, obviously it's going to have to be consistent with our understanding and practice with regards to Vermont's working landscape. And two, what's the value that can and should be expected to be paid for being located in Vermont?
So that's Carrick Johnson, Vice President of Velco. And he points out that because of Velco's ownership structure, the profits that it would make, the money it would make for these, mm-hmm. would flow back to the utility owners and then ratepayers as a result.
Would you expect there to be controversy over any of these projects should they actually come to fruition?
I think so, but it depends on the project. The TDI, which is the one that wants to go under Lake Champlain, is already going around to towns along the route. They've been to a dozen or more towns so far already. And the fact that the line is going to be buried, the fact that they are offering substantial benefits and tax payments, although how much has yet to be determined, is, I think, mollifying the impact considerably. Burying a line, it does a lot to make it acceptable. We've seen in New Hampshire that an above-ground power line, the Northern Pass, has proved tremendously controversial. In this case, I haven't seen an upsurge in opposition, and I think burying it has gone a long way to mollifying that concern.
Is Vermont particularly attractive? I mean, they could run a route down through New Hampshire, could potentially Maine, upstate New York. And is it competitive in that way?
It's basically the shortest distance between two points. So if you want to get to Boston, the Massachusetts market, the Connecticut market, and you're coming from Hydro-Québec, then we are the shortest distance. There is that line that would be in Maine, and that would bring wind power and potentially hydropower from Maine. So there are other competing proposals. But in terms of miles, I think we are in sort of a sweet position if we want to benefit from these projects and if one's going to be built.
And the Northern Pass project in New Hampshire, that's an entirely separate project.
That's what's really interesting about all these proposals. Northern Pass is a Northeast Utilities project, the same developer that just came out the other week with the Vermont proposals. And they say, and that's been very controversial in New Hampshire, and they say these Vermont projects, potential projects, are not a plan B for Northern Pass, although you have to wonder that probably both routes wouldn't get built, so maybe they are looking a little bit to have an alternative.
And all this power is flowing, and I know you visited there, the Hydro-Québec expansion that's happening north of us. That's a result of that.
It is. And there is a question, well, how much does Hydro-Québec actually have to export? You know, they like to export power in part to keep their own rates low, but those reservoirs are not infinite. They are developing new projects on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River. They do have excess capacity, but how much? And will all of these four projects be able to get power from HQ? If even HQ wants to do their own project, wouldn't they keep some of that in reserve for themselves? So that is one of the big questions. How much Hydro-Québec power is there actually available to the region?
And what's the potential timeline? Are we talking decades away?
Well, in TDI's case, they're hoping to have go through and have permits in place, you know, in a couple of years. And I think they said 2019, they're looking to have the line built. That's a pretty aggressive time frame. So sooner than later, perhaps.
All right. Thanks, John.
You're welcome, Steve.
You can read John Dillon's reporting, Why Vermont Appears to Be an Attractive Spot for Utilities That Want to Build New Transmission Corridors, online at vpr.net.